But I just feel excited. God is breaking it and doing some long-term stuff. You know, we've been praying for one guy, Terry, who's completely stone deaf for a number of months now. And I just heard Phil was just telling me beforehand that a friend of his, Phil, dropped something on the floor, and Terry turned around to look to see what was dropped. He's deaf and dumb. He does not hear a thing. And he heard a cat meow last week, which we heard about. And now he's heard this. So God is doing. I mean, it's little by little, but God is doing something. And I think, this is the real deal. Isn't this what's in the Bible? Yeah. Isn't this what we should have been seeing for years? And we're suddenly waking up. I just feel like we should go after the long-term stuff right now. I just want to, if you've had a long-term condition, like 5 years plus, a healing, and just you just need God to break through, maybe even a financial thing, you've just been struggling. But why don't you just stand up right now, if that's you? Got a long-term thing. Let's just go after this right now. So can we just have a few people gather around them? I just feel, it says in Bible that in the scriptures that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, meaning that when we tell stories of what Jesus has done, it releases the potential for him to do it again. So I want you just to ask them quickly what's wrong, and then I want you to speak to the pain or the situation and just tell it to get out of their body, okay? Just go after it. If you're not near anyone, you can run across the room to get to someone. Let's just go after this stuff, shall we? Let's see God break in. Yeah, pain, get out right now in Jesus' name. We just declare it now. We just pray for financial miracles right now for people who've been struggling in their finances for years. We just declare freedom from it right now, that they will have enough. You are the God who provides, and we just say release provision right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now just speak to that pain or whatever. Now if you're receiving prayer, just start to move it. Just start to move whatever's wrong.
You're right. Do you want me to give my story about my money?
What's that one? Give
like £2,500 to buy a free ticket.
Oh, okay. Just give it a second. Just start to move it. If you feel the pain go or you feel anything, why don't you just stick your hand in the air? Just love to see what God's doing across the room. Thank you, Lord. Anyone feeling anything? Sometimes people get healed immediately. Sometimes it takes a while. Yeah, we got one over here. Thank you, Jesus. God's doing something over there. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Keep going after this. Keep going after this. Jesus, we thank you that you're doing this. You're releasing your power in the church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yeah, do it, Lord. We just pray for miracles right now. A miracle of your power right now. Just release it. Healing right now in Jesus' name. Release healing right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'll take your seats. Anyone know that they were healed straight away? Anyone? No one that I can see. Let's take your seats. We've got one over here. Thank you, Jesus. Sarah, why don't you just tell your financial thing? I just feel God wants to bring liberty for finance stuff tonight. Just tell this story.
At the Heaven Touches Earth conference, I think it was Trevor Baker prayed that over me that I would get financial provision or a mantle of financial provision or whatever. And Richard and I obviously were having a baby, and so it was kind of tight right now. And within a week of him praying that, we were given through various means about £2,500.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, seriously. It was awesome. But on top of that, I was feeling really low because my sister and I are really close and she can't afford to come out and visit before I have the baby and stuff. And her and I were just really sad and we're talking on the phone about it. And I said, okay, well, why don't we just pray that God gives you a free ticket? You know, and she's like, well, if I get the money for a ticket, I'll feel guilty using it because I need to save it for my school and stuff. And I was like, okay, fine. Well, let's just pray and see what happens and we'll deal with your guilt later. Because I wasn't going to let her do that if God gave her the money. And that was at like 10 o'clock at night. Richard and I prayed about it before we went to bed. My sister called me at 7 the next morning. It was like, Sarah, you're never going to believe this. My friend's dad just gave me a free ticket.
Wow.
To England. And I know, seriously, he's a Delta International flyer and he gets buddy passes. And so not only was it a free ticket to England, but it was a ticket, so she couldn't feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And she hadn't even prayed about it yet, so oh, praise yeah. the Lord, yeah?
Thank you, Father. Thank you, sir. Oh, that's great. Oh, God, yes, we just say, will you do that again and again across this room? Just raise your hand if you need God to break in your finances, you're struggling. Things are so tight right now, aren't they? But we believe in a God who provides everything that we need. We're not into prosperity. He's not going to give you all a Porsche, maybe some of you, but he is going to provide for your needs. Just lift your hands right now. Oh, God, we just pray right now for a release of financial provision. Lord God, we want to have enough to give away. We want enough to be generous. We want enough to sow into this world, Lord God, to be a generous people, Lord, to give where we see need. In Acts it says that no one was in need, Lord God. And we just say you break need over us, Lord, that we would have enough. Father, that we can bless those around us, our neighbors, our friends, our community. Thank you, Jesus. Do it now in your name. Amen. Amen. Great. Well, we're going to actually start the sermon now. That was all prelim. If you've got some notes, you should have a white copy of some notes called Metamorphosis. This is our week 5 of our series, looking at Ephesians. And this is Ephesians chapter 1, picking it up again at verse 15. Paul was one of the earliest followers of Jesus. If you haven't got any notes, can you just lift your hands and the stewards will come round. Don't worry, they won't pray for you. They're just going to give you some notes. So people get nervous about sticking a hand up now. Just keep your hand up till they come round for you. Paul is writing to a church, Ephesus, which is in modern-day Turkey, and one of the biggest churches in New Testament times, and he's writing some incredible truth into them. And we're picking it up at verse 15. So let me read it to you. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now, Paul's moving into this a section where he was really declaring praise of God to a section now where he's praying for the church. And these are the things that he prays for his church, and we're going to be looking at this over the next few weeks. Firstly, notice that he says that I've noticed your faith and love. I've heard about your faith and love. And I think we should just pause on that for a moment because if we can see incredible miracles and see God move powerfully, but the scripture clearly teaches if we do not have love, it all amounts to nothing. Actually, we've got to let the love of God flow through our hearts. People can't be just statistics and numbers and all the next person to pray for. No, it's got to be moved by the love of God. In fact, when I pray for the sick, if I don't leave them feeling loved, it's a failure. Do you understand? So often people run around and they leave people saying, oh, you haven't got enough faith to be healed and all that. It's just junk. I've got to leave people feeling loved. Whether they get healed or not, I've got to leave them feeling loved and that they've been loved by God and loved by me. And Paul underlines that. He commends the Ephesians for it, but he also commends them for their faith. Because I can know a huge amount of things, but what counts in the kingdom of God is a simple faith in the goodness of God. We have to just come back to that place again and again. So he starts there, and we'll skip the next little bit because I want to really talk about this next verse 17. May give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Paul's praying for the release of this spirit of wisdom and revelation. And revelation is knowing things that you couldn't otherwise know. There are many things that we don't know, and revelation is having those things unveiled to you, being declared to you. And wisdom is the ability to apply revelation. You need both, actually. Not just revelation, but wisdom and revelation. That's what Paul's praying into the church. And we see that in Jesus, don't we? We see that Jesus was able to know that God was the God who healed, that his Father was a healing God. He knew that. And yet he also had wisdom to apply that. So we see in one story, he prays for a blind man, and he just declares that the blind man is healed, and the man's just healed like that, and his eyes open. In another story, He actually, Jesus meets another blind man and he actually spits on the ground and makes mud and then puts it in the guy's eyes and he's healed. Now, I'd rather be the first guy, but I guess you take it whichever way it comes. But why? Have you thought about it? Why? It's the spirit of wisdom. You see, it's not enough just to know that God heals the blind. We have to know that God, how God is going to heal the blind in this circumstance. How he's going to do it through us. We need the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. And that's what Paul's praying for the church there. We need this revelation of what God is wanting to do. And it affects in our workplace, in our homes, in our colleges, wherever we are. We need not only the revelation of what God is wanting to do, but also how he wants to do it through us. And I believe in our day, God is increasingly releasing this spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we will know what to do wherever we go, how to bring his kingdom. And this notice as well, it's the spirit of. Notice it says, having the eyes of your heart enlightened. In our kind of intellectual worldview, we feel like if we can just understand, if we can just get it through our minds, then we'll be okay, don't we? We rely so much on what is here. But God does reveal things through our mind. But actually notice it's a spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's actually about having something in your heart opened to know what God is doing. You cannot know everything about God up here. It has to come through here and into here. It's a revelation thing. You can't even be saved without this spirit of revelation. And you'll notice that, won't you? Didn't you? When you read the Bible, sometimes you read, anyone had this experience? You read it sometimes and it's completely dry. You just think, what is this? And then you read it another time, sometimes even the same verses, and boom, it's just alive. Anyone else had that experience? Just alive. And you think, what's the difference? It's the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's the Holy Spirit revealing God's word to you in that way. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, the natural person doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're folly. He's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. You see, God has revealed clearly in his word what he intends to do. It's all there in Scripture. You can read it, and I read Scripture. There's not a day goes past where I don't read the Bible, read books about the Bible. I love Scripture, and I read it and read it and read it. It's the foundation, I believe, for all revelation. Everything we test comes back to this thing. But it's not enough. The Bible is not enough. You need the Holy Spirit as your guide to open it, to reveal it, to speak it into being in your life. And I sometimes get frustrated and have felt frustrated. Well, God, why don't you just make it clearer what you're saying to me right now? Do everyone else get that feeling? God, why isn't it just clearer? Why can't I just get it? You know, why is it so, why have I got to push through? And I felt God really speak to me about that this week. And it was through my son, Ethan, who's one and just over one. And he has a language. And his language is like this. He goes, goo, goo, gaga, goo, goo. That's how he speaks. You know, he's got his whole, and he'll talk to you at length about various things. I haven't got a clue what he's saying. But he would just goo and ga and goo. And you know, I could speak to him in that language. You know, if I just spoke in that language, goo, ga, goo, all the time, just kept speaking, by the time he was 15, we would have an ability to communicate in that language, wouldn't we? I mean, we'd have gooed and gaed for long enough that we would be able to communicate. We'd have a level of understanding, a level of dialogue. No one else would have a clue what we're talking about, but we would know. We would be able to talk like that. But I don't. I don't speak in that language to him. Why not? The reason I don't, I speak in normal English to him. Why do I do that? Well, the reason is I'm calling him up to a higher level. You see, if I just speak in his language, he'll just remain down there forever. Whereas if I speak in my language, it causes him to stretch. It causes him to reach up. And my language is far more powerful than his language. He will achieve far more if he learns my language than if I just leave him with his language. Do you see the spiritual parallel? This is what God is doing with us. He is causing us to be lifted up to his language, the language of the Spirit. Because when God speaks, a universe gets created. It says he spoke it and it was created. That is how powerful his words are. And God is wanting to teach us to speak the language of the Spirit so that we can declare things and they are done. We have to lay hands on the sick and pray for people. But you notice often Jesus just said to people, your servant is healed. They were miles away. He was nowhere even near them. Your servant is healed. Go, your servant's healed. It's happened just as you believe. He just spoke it and it came into being because he was speaking the language of the Spirit. He tuned himself into what the Father was saying and he was releasing the power of God through him. I heard a story just this week of a lady who came to a church at the front for prayer, and she was heavily pregnant. But when she arrived at the front, the people who were praying for her realized that the reason she'd come for prayer was because her baby had died. And the doctors had told her that it was dead in the womb and that she was going the next day to have it removed, you know, to have the baby taken out. But she just come in just an absolute mess to the front, just emotionally wrecked, and just said, you know, will you just pray for me? I just don't want to go through this whole thing and have to deliver this dead baby, but, you know, I just need God's strength. And as they were praying, the guy who was praying for her said, I've just really clearly heard the Lord say to me, your baby is not dead, it's alive. And she said, it's not alive, it's dead. They've tested it, they've done all the tests, they've listened, there's nothing, it is dead, this baby is dead. He said, it can't be. God has just spoken to me. This baby is alive. So they prayed for her. The next day she went to have the baby removed. And when they went to examine her for the last time before they did it, they found the baby was alive. You see, when we speak God's language, creative things start to happen. And I believe in our day God is calling us up to this spirit of wisdom and revelation. And so I just want to just unpack a little bit of this, what Paul was meaning, and pull in some other scriptures that Paul would have been aware of. Because I think that when it comes to hearing God's voice, and we say, well, what's the keys to it? Really, there is one key. Get the Spirit of wisdom revelation. Open your life up to it. Just receive that Holy Spirit into your life, and you will hear God's voice. You will do the same sort of things. But there are some things that I've found on my journey that create an environment in my heart that Spirit will come and dwell in, if you see what I mean. An environment where this Spirit of wisdom and revelation can dwell and remain. And so just a few things that I've found on my journey. Firstly, to believe. When God speaks, we have to mix it with faith. I cried out for years, God, will you speak to me? Before I realized that he always was. I mean, he's the Word of God. It's hard for him not to have something to say. He just has something to say. And Psalm 139 says, your thoughts for me are myriad. God, they're beyond the number of the sands on the seashore. God is always speaking to you. Every day. Say that. Every day God is speaking to me. You want to just say that. Every day God is speaking to me. He is. Every day he is speaking to you. Now you might say, well, I can't hear it. Well, that's the next thing. But start with the place of, he is speaking to me. You know, we've just got to learn to tune ourselves in to what he's saying because he is speaking. And sometimes we just have to stop asking God to speak to us and start believing that he is. Who knows that you can ask in unbelief and you can ask in faith? And there's sometimes a self-pitying cry that, God, please speak to me. And it's not coming from a place of faith. But instead, we need to say, God, I believe that you are speaking to me. Every day, your word says, you've got something to say to me. I just want to learn to tune myself in. It starts you on a different, you start from a different place. And sometimes people come to me and they say, well, you know, I had this prophetic word. Someone gave me a word and nothing's happened about it. And I always ask them, well, what have you done? And they usually say, well, nothing. I was just kind of waiting for it to materialize. Just waiting for something to come. And I say, well, have you prayed about it? Well, no, not really. Have you started doing? No, not. I haven't really done anything. And I would urge you, the beginning point when you hear God's voice is to start to believe and then to start to act, to start to move. So if you've had a prophetic word about you being a teacher, then start to study. Start to fuel that fire. If you've about worship leading, then pick up an instrument and learn one. Because it's as we do that, we show that we really believe. We show that we really are engaging with the journey that God has got us on. I have all the prophecies that have been given to me on my computer, and I refer to them regularly, and I pray them into being. I say, God, this is what you said. It's been 10 years now. Will you do it in my life? You prophesied that this would happen, and I go after them again and again because I want to demonstrate a believing heart and I want to get them into my life. Secondly, humble ourselves. True humility manifests as a radical dependence on God's voice. Remember that pride is not just arrogance. It usually forms and manifests itself as self-reliance. Pride is not just arrogance. It manifests typically as self-reliance, particularly in our culture. Self-reliance, relying on my ability to make things happen. God's calling us to this humble life where we say, God, I've just got to have your voice. Just got to have what you say about this. I've just got to hear you speaking to me on this issue. And then tuning in. Instead of demanding that God speaks to us in a way that we want him to, we just tune in and take it whichever way it comes. You know, if God's speaking on AM and you're listening on FM, there's no point turning the dial backwards and forwards up the range. You just got to switch to AM. You just got to switch over. And I believe that there's something of posturing ourselves and saying, yep, Lord, speak to me through Scripture. Of course, that's where we come back to also. But Lord, I don't care how it comes. Sometimes I bring a prophetic word to someone and say, this is what I feel God's saying. And at the end, they say, oh, I wish I could hear God like that. And I say, well, you just did. You just did. You see, we get so caught up, we miss the very word that's just been spoken to us. We're so caught up with self-pity, we miss the very thing that God has just said to us. Position yourself and turn aside when he speaks. Ponder over it. Think about it. Because revelation attracts more revelation. Caroline had a great... Do you want to just tell your story? This is my lovely wife, Caroline. Some of you don't know, because she didn't come in the evening.
I don't get to come very often in the evening. Well, I had, a few weeks back, we went to the Tower of London with my kids, and my seven-year-old daughter wanted to buy, you know, those seals, and it's like a wax candle, and you melt it and make a little thing and stamp a seal on it. She wanted to buy one of those, but they didn't have her initials. And so I said, oh, well, we'll look online and see if we can find one. And over the next couple of weeks, I kept thinking, I must look online and see if I can find one of those seals. So I had kind of been thinking about seals. And then 2 weeks ago, or was it last week, when Wendy spoke? Something like that. 2 weeks ago, Wendy spoke and talked about, from Ephesians, about the Holy Spirit being like a seal. And like when a king rolls up his scroll and puts a seal on it, protects what's inside the scroll. And I really felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me about that's what he's done for me. And I was aware of condemnation in my heart and just really aware that the Holy Spirit was saying, I have put my seal of, you know, I've put my seal on your heart and I've protected what's inside. And just really felt him starting to speak to me about that. And then the next day, I received a wedding invitation to my brother's wedding. And when I opened the envelope, it was sealed with one of those seals. And I was like, oh, well, that's three times I've heard about seals. Perhaps God's trying to speak to me. And so I started in my quiet times looking up verses about seals. And by the Thursday, I had looked up in that morning and read about from Song of Songs about place me as a seal on your head and on your arm, and love is stronger than death, and just continued to hear him talking to me about his love for me and how I'm not under condemnation. And then had a friend come and visit for the day from London, and she was praying for me, and she said, you know, I just keep getting sealed. Let me read this verse for you. And she read that same verse from Song of Songs that I had read that morning. And on Saturday night, Simon and me, PJ and Emma, went up to Dudley to hear... Trevor Baker. Mm-hmm. And he had just come back from the States and had brought this prophetic word from this prophetic guy, Bob Jones, for the UK. And he had brought some oil from the Florida outpouring and stuff. And he wanted to anoint each of our heads with oil. And so when he finally got around to it at 11:30 at night or something, he said, this oil, this anointing and this word from Bob Jones is all about a seal. And it's all about the Holy Spirit sealing you from condemnation and sealing his anointing for the miraculous, which is something else I've really been praying about. And I've just felt really, really different since I had that.
Great. Thank you, Caroline. That's great. So it's... And what I found is that it's like, remember Moses, he sees the burning bush, he sees it burning, and it says he turned aside to look. And when he looked, the Lord spoke to him. And sometimes we just need to turn aside. And so often we're so busy, we're so rushing on desperately, God, speak. And he's speaking through these strange divine coincidences. We've just got to turn aside and look, and he will speak and be clear to us what he's saying. There's a disease called intestinal malabsorption, which is a really nasty sounding disease. But it's the inability in our of our intestine to absorb nutrients. And it has some nasty symptoms, anemia, malnutrition, muscle wasting. And I just felt God speak to me, saying that much of my church, Simon, has spiritual malabsorption. What does that mean? What it means is that we're unable to receive the nutrients of what God's doing. The nutrients of how he's speaking. We've got to learn to tune ourselves in and soak it up so that we receive the goodness from it in our lives. And I've seen it in my own life, you know, when I need a financial miracle and God just breaks through and provides. And then a few months later, I need another one and I find myself back where I was started from. Do you know what I mean? You're back before, almost as if the other one hadn't happened. And you keep going back and back and back and back, and you never build on what God did last time. And we can see and applaud these, you know, healings that we see week in, week out. But we can applaud them, or we can receive the truth of what God is doing in them, so that when we face someone who's sick, instead of us, we suddenly think, I've seen this before. Do you see what I mean? Spiritual malabsorption will not allow you to receive the benefits, the goodness of what God is doing amongst us. Whereas if we start to chew it over, and that's why so often in Scripture it talks about remembering, going over again, chewing it over again and again. You remember the story of the disciples, don't you? They're in the boat with Jesus and he says, I want you to be aware of the leaven, the bread of the Pharisees and Herod. And they start to panic. He thinks we've forgotten the sandwiches. And they're panicking because they've forgotten the sandwiches for lunch. And Jesus is like, guys, I'm not talking about sandwiches here. This is not about lunch. And he leads them back, doesn't he? Didn't we just come from a miracle where I fed 5,000 people? If I was worried about sandwiches, I'd do something about it. I'm not talking about it. And it says they had not understood the miracle of feeding the 5,000 because their hearts were spiritually hard. See, we need to soften up on the inside and receive the goodness of what God is doing so that we can build and build and build instead of starting from scratch every time. And then to pursue it, it's Proverbs 25, it's the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings to search things out. God is not hiding things from you. He is hiding things for you, says Bill Johnson. I love that. It so twists the way of that verse. You could read that verse and think and feel, oh, God's a bit mean. Isn't it? The glory of God to hide things. Glory of kings to search them out. No, no, no. God's not hiding things from you. He's hiding things for you on this great adventure of life to discover the goodness of God. We're going to be doing it for all eternity. One turn of his face and we'll see another whole aspect of glory that we've never seen before. Well, that's what this journey of this life is about. Discovering how good he is. Pursue him. And then lastly, just discern against the scripture and against power. We start, and Paul says in 1 Timothy, all scriptures God-breathed. It's useful, he says. And so we come back time and time again. However God speaks, Paul says, even if an angel of God appears to you and gives you a different gospel, reject it. We come back to scripture and say, Lord, test this out with what the Bible says. We test it out there. We open ourselves up to all this revelation, but we test it out there. That's the place that we come back to. But also, when Paul was going into Corinth, and he was going there, and there were a number of false teachers who were spouting all sorts of rubbish, what did he say? He said in 1 Corinthians 4, I will come to you soon if the Lord wills. I'll find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. You see, he's got two measures, hasn't he? Not just the scripture, but also he's looking for the power. He's looking to see the power of God, because it's the test as to whether this really is from God. You know, sometimes people give me a book and they'll give it to me and they'll say, you know, it's a good book, but there's a few dodgy bits in here. We have this dodgy filter, don't we? Bit dodgy. And they have to warn me just in case, you know, I get off the rails, lead the whole church down there. So a bit dodgy, but, you know, here's this book. So, thanks very much. But I've never had anyone give me a book and say, you know, this guy is totally biblically accurate, but he's never seen anyone healed from cancer. Might be a bit dodgy. He's never seen God's power come on people's lives. Might be a bit, you see, but that's what Paul would have done. That's exactly what he would have done. He would have said, I'm looking for this to line up, but I'm also looking for the power. That is the sign. That's what we've got to be going after. How will they ever know out there that this church is speaking the truth unless we demonstrate it with power? unless we say, you can tell that our gospel is true because we've seen this sick people healed. We've seen the deaf hear. We see the blind see. We see the lame walk on a regular basis. That's what happened. That's where we're going. We have to be able to demonstrate it. Why else should they believe it? And Jesus even said to the people, he said, if you don't believe my words, believe them for the miracles. He was saying, if you can't believe just my words, then these miracles testify that what I'm saying is the truth. That's why it's so important that we go after this stuff, that we can test the veracity of this, of what we're declaring to the world. And sometimes people get worried because we bring in conference speakers and other speakers, and we bring them in. And often I'm looking for people who are bringing this sense of power, who are bringing God's presence, who just bring a measure of and just take us further than where we are. But people do get worried, you know. They think, you know, Simon's lining up with all this stuff and not sure about it. And they, you know, and then people come in and they say stuff. And to be honest, you know, I haven't got a clue what they're going to say most of the time. You know, we talk about it, Royden and PJ and Mike and myself and Matt, and they're often like, well, what are they going to say? And I'm like, I haven't got a clue. And even if I did know, they would say something different. And I don't know how long they're going to speak either, so don't blame me for that either. And they come in, and but I'm looking for them to bring a deposit of something, of something of God. That's what I'm looking for, really. But people do get worried when there's stuff that they don't quite agree with. And what I say is this, simply this, chew up the meat and spit out the bones. Just chew it up and spit it out. The bits that you don't agree with, just spit it out. Now, we don't go after error, of course, but if it's there, and to be honest, you know, if we only invited people that we totally agree with, I mean, we wouldn't invite anyone. I mean, I wouldn't be preaching because I disagree with myself frequently. So we wouldn't have anyone in. You know, it would just be silence, wouldn't it? So we're always going to get them. We just need to learn to discern. We need to come back to Scripture, but also we need to look for the power. We need to look for both, and we need to allow God to teach us through both. We might say, well, I'm not sure about that, but I see God's hand on his life, and I recognize the anointing that. And you see this thing in Florida, don't you, with Todd Bentley. I mean, the power of God is falling. I don't agree with everything that Todd says, but the power of God is there. They've seen 8 people raised from the dead. Yeah. You know, who am I to start quibbling? Yeah, there's some bits I'll never teach and never bring to this church, but I'll recognize what God's doing and affirm that he's anointed that guy to bring power to shape this planet at this time. Do you see the difference? We've got to learn to discern in this way. Chew up the meat, spit out the bones. And lastly, to pursue the voice to the encounter. Paul says, I may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's where this terminates, if you like. Because knowledge just puffs up. Love edifies. And God's calling us into relationship with the Father. To know God. That's where the spirit of wisdom and revelation will always take us, into the encounter with the living God. The spirit doesn't lead to more information. It leads to encounter. And every time I get revelation and it doesn't lead me to encounter with God, I just get more religious. I just get more self-righteous. I just feel like I know more. I just get more self-reliant. It's deadly. You have to follow it through to its conclusion, which is the encounter with God. You have to get there. And the Pharisees missed that. They totally missed that. And so they came, and when Jesus was around, the Pharisees, who were the teachers of the day, most of them would have memorized the first 5 books of the Bible by heart. They would have known it all word for word by the time they got into their early teens. I mean, they knew God's word back to front. And yet Jesus, when he spoke to them, he said, his voice you have never heard. He said, you look in the Scriptures to find things about God, but you didn't realize that they were talking about me. They missed the encounter. And that's where this has got to end. Often when Caroline's gone to bed, I'll just lay down on the floor in my lounge and say, God, I've just got to have more of you. I'm just so hungry for more of you, Jesus. I've got to know you more. All this stuff I'm reading and all this stuff I'm learning. But Jesus, I've got to have more of you, Lord. Don't leave me like I am. There's more than this, Lord. There must be. And I just cry out to him for more and just worship him and just spend time with him, because all of this has got to lead to relationship with him. I was reading about Hudson Taylor this week, the great Chinese missionary. And he'd been in China for many years and was laboring in this Chinese area with a few volunteers. It was tough work, and he came back to the UK with a just for a break, really, and just to kind of recruit resources to go back to China. And he was at a conference in Brighton, and it was a bit dull, so he decided to step outside onto the beach. And this is someone was writing about it. He slipped out of the meeting, stood on the beach. The conviction came upon Hudson Taylor that he ought to ask for 2 new workers for each of the 11 unoccupied provinces and 2 for other provinces in China, 24 in all. But who would support support for so many workers be forthcoming? Would their anchor hold amid the trials of service in China? Would they lose heart and blame Hudson for bringing them into such hardships? He needed 24 men and women. Could he believe God for it? Eventually, a shaft of light broke over his mind, and he exclaimed, "If we are obeying the Lord, the responsibility rests with him and not with us." Straight away, he wrote in his Bible, "At Brighton, June the 25th, 1865, prayed for 24 willing, skillful laborers for China. That date marks the birthday of the China Inland Mission, which went on to begin a revival in China that is still burning to this day, and countless millions have been saved and added to the church." You see, it came when he pushed through, past the revelation, and into the encounter with the living God, and something was birthed in him. And I believe God is doing that in our day. I was out the other day, I was cycling through the park, and I saw a guy that I knew walking with a limp. And I stopped my bike, but he was kind of gone. And I was thinking, oh, well, he's gone now. Phew. honestly. And then I just felt the Lord just speak to me. He said, "Simon, you can either cycle back to the office now, or you can come and have an adventure with me." So I thought, oh, that's not playing fair. So I turned my bike around and I went and found this guy. He was with a group of others, but he was on his phone the whole time. But I chatted to another guy there who was in desperate need of an encounter with God. So I prayed with him and thought, okay, well, that was it. This other guy was on the phone and didn't come off it for the whole time, so I couldn't talk to him. And anyway, I cycled back to the offices, and when I got there, there was a guy sitting on the steps, and his knees were in agony. He's got all the nerves in his knees are completely eroded and gone. And he was sitting there on the steps in complete pain, and he just couldn't. I'd seen him try and walk a number of weeks before, and he walks just with a total shuffle like this. And so I thought, okay, I'd had a bit of boldness from my previous encounter. I thought, I'm going to pray for you. So I said, can I pray for you? So he prayed. I said, do you feel anything? He said, no. I said, well, try it out. Now, often I've seen this is when the healing comes, actually, when people actually start to step out and do something. So I said, well, try it out. So he stood up, and he began to walk, and he was like, all the pain's gone. And all the pain was gone, and he walked back to the far side of town with no pain whatsoever, which he hadn't been able to do. God broke in. It came through the revelation. It came through the spirit of wisdom and revelation. As I responded to that, it opened up something. And I believe God's wanting us to do that more and more in our workplaces, in our homes, not just with healing, but bringing the kingdom, bringing peace, bringing joy, bringing freedom for people. Sundays is just where we get to practice. We get to get charged up, and then we go out and just bring it wherever we go. There's a little bit more in this passage, but let's leave it there. Let's stand together, shall we? And we'll just ask the Lord to come. Thank you, Father. Spirit of God, come. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord God.